Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Right now, we're turning our attention on a transformative strategy that's aligned with Singapore's healthcare needs. So COVID-19 obviously has posed a challenge to our healthcare system.
Yeah, but those challenges were already beginning to hit it. And, you know, there's been a strain from a rapidly aging population, rising healthcare costs, and also the prevalence of dengue here in Singapore. We've seen a record number of infections this year, which is now this additional burden.
Yeah, so our next guest has a strategy to align themselves with the healthcare needs here in Singapore. We're going to find out what it is in a while. Takeda Pharmaceuticals is undergoing a transformation to focus on innovative medicines in five key therapy areas. So that's oncology, gastroenterology, neuroscience, rare diseases, as well as plasma-derived therapies.
Happens to us all, my friend. They're also driving improvements in patients' access to care, fast-tracking innovation, and focusing on developing treatments for lesser-known diseases. But is it enough for them to be well-equipped to respond to Singapore's needs?
Well, let's find out from Thomas Williamson, who is Senior Vice President, Takeda APAC. Good morning, Thomas. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. I'm very well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time. So just very quickly, Takeda Pharmaceutical, we know it's a Japanese multinational pharmaceutical and biopharmaceutical company, and it is the largest pharmaceutical company here in Asia. I suppose the baseline question would be, how has COVID-19 shifted that focus for Takeda?
Yeah, thanks, Elliot. So yeah, you're right. I mean, we are in the pharmaceutical business now in the top 10, pretty big actually compared to where we come from. I mean, we had like really humble beginnings when the company started in 1781 in Osaka, founded by a guy Chobei Takeda, and it was essentially a herbal trading company. But since then, we've become quite a force here in Asia, and we're now, as you said, one of the biggest companies in the world with like 30 billion in sales. So COVID-19 is a challenge for all of us. I think it's also a huge opportunity for the pharmaceutical industry to come with solutions, and not just in the terms of what we can do in terms of a COVID vaccine, but also in terms of COVID treatments. And Takeda is quite invested in all of these areas to bring solutions to the table.
Wow, you said 1781. I was stunned for a moment there. Like, I would love to read more about the history of the company, but not today. Because today, I want to ask you about this transformation strategy that you've had to go through, right? Because you were just underlining how you have changed so much. But what does that strategy mean for Singapore?
Right. So, I mean, the company, the legacy of the company really is more in primary care, which means these are products that are more for the common diseases, for example, in GI, gastrointestinal diseases. And we've really moved on to focus much more now, especially with the acquisition of Shire, on transformative rare diseases. So, and this is also where our pipeline is going. And this is important also for Singapore, because some of our treatments have a high prevalence in Asia. For example, some rare forms of lung cancer, which have a higher prevalence in Asia. And as you mentioned, dengue, which is a big issue now for Singapore. Singapore is experiencing the worst dengue outbreak since 2013, with over 30,000 cases this year alone. I mean, it's a disease that not just has a debilitating impact on your life, it can be even deadly. And with 20 people dying from dengue in Singapore, it actually has a higher fatality in Singapore than COVID-19, but not many people talk about it that way. So there's really something we need to do. We are in a late stage of developing a vaccine that has shown very promising results, and we hope we can launch this by 2022 across Asia.
Wait, did you say a vaccine for dengue?
Correct.
Wow, I'm stunned.
So having served national service here in Singapore, the initial couple of months where you're in Pulau Tekong, you take a malaria pill, I think you're at a scheduled time, right? So that I know, but a treatment for dengue.
Yeah.
What does that mean for Takeda's reach around this region then, you know, when this comes to pass, when this vaccine eventually is available? What kind of prospects are we looking at here?
Well, this is a great question, Elliot. I mean, we're looking at a huge rise in dengue cases across Asia. Mm. I mean, globally, it's around 400 million people every year 70% of those in Asia that get affected by dengue. And there are many reasons why that's happening. I mean, you can call it global warming or urbanization. It's just on the rise. So having a late-stage development there, and actually with really good data that's very promising, it puts us at a unique position, actually. There's nothing quite like our dengue vaccine that close to marketing. And it's a great opportunity, but it's also a huge responsibility for us to make this available to as many people as possible. So that means we have to have the right strategy in terms of pricing, the right strategy in terms of access. We have to have the right capacity in terms of manufacturing. And I'm quite, it's one of the reasons why I joined Takeda, actually, because I had dengue myself when I was young. When I was 19, I had it, and I don't want to have it. I still have a score to settle with dengue, and I really want to make this happen.
Yeah, you know, my father also had dengue once. He'd gone on a visit in Africa and came back to the UK with it. And yeah, it's really very unpleasant, but remarkable research for a possibly remarkable and revolutionary future, so far as that goes. So then that begs the question, what are you doing about COVID-19?
Right. So I think COVID-19 has a big impact on us. So, I mean, I'm managing the Asia region, so we'll talk mostly about Asia here, which it's very different and depends very much on the strength of the healthcare system. So, for example, if I look at Korea, if I look at Taiwan, Australia, COVID impact has not been so severe in terms of the pharmaceutical industry, or when I think about what's impact, it's more about do patients still have access to treatment, right? When I look at the Philippines or Indonesia, it's a different story. People have lost their jobs, or they don't want to go and see a doctor. The doctors have fallen sick themselves, and so there's a real breakdown in terms of access to medicine. Here in Singapore, I think the situation is now under much more control. Mm-hmm. I think we had some difficult times in the last month, but we've gone through it. And, when I look at the numbers that are coming in every day, you know, no cases in ICU, a single digit.
Yeah.
It looks like we're over the worst. So for us, as a pharmaceutical industry, the biggest concern we had was, will patients stop their treatment? And it's not so much about the COVID-19, but it's about other diseases. So if you have a heart attack and you don't go, or if you have another chronic disease and you stop treating, or if a doctor doesn't diagnose you, these are, I think, the follow-on impacts of COVID-19 that we were worried about.
Yeah.
And of course, we are developing a vaccine together with Novavax that's actually mainly for the Japanese market. Also, and I think this has also brought the best out in the industry. That's why I think COVID-19, as much as it is an issue, it's also an opportunity that the industry has created a lot of alliances where we actually work with competitors together to step up to the challenge and to come up with solutions. So, for example, we have joined a group of what we call plasma-derived therapy manufacturers. That's a long word for a morning. But it's basically the products that are made from blood, and they are basically then given to patients that have some kind of blood disease. And in this case, we are taking blood from patients that have developed a natural immunity to COVID-19, that have overcome COVID-19. And it will be a concentrate and then be given to patients that are suffering from COVID-19 to boost their immune system, or to healthcare practitioners to make sure that they have a stronger immune system. And that's something that we're developing right now that will be hopefully on the market next year.
Thomas, I've got a curious question, and hopefully this leads us into our next point about improving patients' access to innovative medicines. When you develop these vaccines, and I'll understand if you're unable to answer this one, say the COVID vaccine or even the dengue vaccine, you talked earlier about ensuring this access to other countries around this region, the price point being right. Is there a governing body that comes into play here to ensure that, you know, companies like yourselves are not overpricing and taking advantage of this demand for a vaccine?
Yeah, that's a great question, Elliot. And, you know, it's something that we are very, very mindful of. And I don't even think it's foolish to go in with a high price point. Mm. I think we always need to think about what's the sustainable pathway. And so there's a couple of things here. One is that we have a strategy of trying to enter markets in the appropriate tiering. So depending on the development of the country, our prices will differ across the world. So that's one. That's a principle to actually have appropriate pricing for the right development. But we also invest quite a lot in access programs. So that means for the, let's say, underprivileged few, the ones that really don't have the means, and even here in Singapore, where out-of-pocket is still a big portion of the healthcare, we do offer patients that have less means the access to treatments that they couldn't afford otherwise. And so, for example, across Asia, we have like 700 patients on these access programs like 70, 80 of them coming from Singapore, and then they can have access to treatments that are like in oncology or in other areas that they would normally not be able to afford.
We're speaking to Thomas Williamson, who is Senior Vice President at Takeda, their APAC region, and it's a pharmaceutical company. Question a little bit out of left field, but I'm very curious to ask you this one. So overnight, we learned that Bristol-Myers Squibb is going to buy heart treatment maker MyoKardia for $13.1 billion. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you for your opinion on the specifics of that deal. But my point is, at the moment, there's a lot of money flowing in the world because it's being made available by a lot of banks. Is there a sense, particularly here in Asia, where there's so much growth potential in the healthcare sector and pharmaceuticals in particular, that we could hear of more of these sorts of deals? I just wanted to get your view.
I think we are seeing a new wave of acquisitions. And you made the point, of course, the availability and the liquidity of money currently at the low interest rates is a big factor in that. I think for us, for Takeda, we have just had a massive acquisition acquiring Shire in 2018 and 19. And I don't think that we are looking for another big acquisition anytime soon. Where we are constantly looking for partnerships and new additions is, of course, in the area of R&D. So like all of us, I mean, we basically have less than 1% of the smart people in the world working in our R&D labs. And we do want to tap into the 99% other people. So we do work with universities and institutes. And you know, once in a while, we license in products at an early stage to develop them. And that's actually happening everywhere.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up R&D because I'm curious. Dengue's been around for a long time. You guys are developing that vaccine. COVID-19, of course, just because it's in the news. That, of course, gets a lot of attention. But are there the vaccines that we can expect or those that are in development, you know, those that have kind of gone to the back of our head because of the current pandemic?
Right. Actually, in vaccines in particular, we are really now focused on dengue. That's it. That's basically where we're going to put all our effort on, because it is such a massive medical need, and we're not aiming to be a broad portfolio vaccines player like Sanofi or GSK. Okay. We really want to focus there.
Yeah, it's a real shift because
it's huge.
Yeah, and because the focus has always been on controlling mosquito populations, but this would change the whole game, I'm sure.
Exactly.
It'd be interesting. Thomas, let's wrap it up. Let's talk a little bit about you now. I'm curious, how does your leadership style, how does your emphasis on building a culture of trust, how do you think that's impacted your team, both locally and in Asia Pacific?
Yeah, you should probably ask them better than me. But look, I think that in this industry in particular, it is all about trust. It's about, you know, you trusting the medicines or the vaccines that you use. And we have to build trust from within. We are in a human-to-human industry. I mean, yes, the lab manufactures the medicines and we market them here in the region. But it's all about the engagement of customers and patients and then making sure that people trust you. And that starts from how we manage our people, because it's all about the people. So I spend a lot of time. I've been with the company now since May last year, and I've been in this region for 20 plus years, you know, working in China, working in Taiwan. And I really like to connect to the employees on all levels of the organization. So what I did in the first couple of months, I was going out, I was visiting all the markets. I spent a week or more at a time in each market in what I would call my engagement weeks, where I would really go out and spend time with the sales reps and with the medics and going to see customers and to town halls and spend a lot of time on the ground with the people to understand what their issues are. And I think that really paid off. I think we have a good rapport now. And trying to keep it up, of course, it's difficult now with COVID, so we do have our check-ins, you know, virtually now. But I think it is very, very important that we communicate frequently, we're transparent, we show as leaders, also our vulnerability in these kind of changing times. I mean, we don't have answers to all questions. And, you know, people are suffering. People are struggling with this, you know, work from home and the pressure and not knowing whether they will still have a job tomorrow. So it's really, really important to stay close to your team and to basically not, you know, not to just hide and wait it out, because, you know, this is going to stay for a while. And I think we'll get through this together.
Excellent advice. Thank you for that, Thomas.
We've been speaking with Thomas Williamson, who is Senior Vice President, Takeda Asia Pacific. Thomas, thank you for your time. Take care and stay safe.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.